Today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. A living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Now, this morning we are continuing our series looking at big questions. And the question that we've been looking at over the last few weeks is the question, what is? And the last couple of weeks we've thought about a couple of things. We thought, first of all, what is a Christian? And last week we thought about what is church? And today what we're going to do is we are going to think about membership and what is a church member. That's our big question for today. What is a church member? Now, I'm sure that all of us who are watching this today are probably, or listening to this, are probably members of one thing or another. From being a member of the bowling club, to the golf club, to the gym, to the rural, to a member of a supporters club for a football team, to having a membership for a loyalty scheme for a supermarket. There are all kinds of memberships when we think about it. Membership, of course, reflects some kind of commitment on the part of the person who is a member. To be a member of a golf club or a bowling club, for example, it allows you certain privileges, doesn't it? But it also requires of you certain responsibilities. Otherwise, your membership might be revoked. After all, it wouldn't go down too well, would it, if you started playing football on the bowling green and making big holes in it? Or you went round the golf course with a hockey stick. That wouldn't quite be seen as being right, would it? So there are lots of things that we could be members of, though interestingly many organisations and clubs are struggling to obtain new members these days. And there's a general trend in society for people not to be committed or not to be tied down. Now, it's a generalisation that that is the case, but commitment is something that has gone out of fashion very much in today's society. And we see this, for example, in the fact that there are far less marriages than there used to be. Even in my short time being in West Kilbride over the last 12 and a half years, the number of weddings that I get per year is probably on a downward trajectory. The general trend, though not the exclusive trend, is that people don't like to be committed or tied down. Now, with all these things being said, why become a member of the church? Why bother? You see, in the last few weeks, we've looked at what a Christian is. And we've seen that a Christian is someone who believes that Jesus died for their sin and believes that Jesus rose again to new life. And so a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus for their salvation. And we looked at what the church is last week, that it is Christians gathered together for fellowship, teaching, prayer, praise, and the breaking of bread. But today's question asks the commitment question. What is a church member? And why should I be a church member is the question that automatically springs from that. Now, briefly last week, we thought about not being a Christian in isolation. And that's why the church is so important, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we believe in Jesus, then we are bound together. But what about membership? What's membership all about? You see, sometimes even in Christian circles, we might get slightly nervous in terms of membership, because many people feel that they can be part of the church without being an official member. And sometimes it's pointed out by those who are opposed to a kind of official membership that it doesn't appear in the Bible. And that's absolutely true. And it certainly doesn't appear in any kind of proof text way. But it can be inferred from Scripture. And that's what you find with something like the Trinity, for example. No one who is an Orthodox Christian would deny that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No one would deny that. And yet the word Trinity does not appear in Scripture. And it's the same with membership. Now, I'm not saying that membership, as it appears in our denomination, the Church of Scotland, and in Presbyterianism, or other denominations, is perfect. It's far from that. But what I want you to realise today is that membership is important. Paul Alexander, who co-wrote the book The Deliberate Church, says that local church membership is not the only way we clarify the distinction between the world and the church, but it is one way to make it visible and plain. Even in the book of Acts, what does the gospel create? Distinct, visible, local churches. That's what Paul Alexander says. Profession of faith and membership is important because you're saying, in effect, I'm a believer in Jesus. I trust in him for my salvation. And these are the people that I share that with. Yes, people in the local church, but also the whole church in the whole wide world. Now, there are lots of aspects that we could look at in terms of membership today. We could look at accountability and discipline and commitment. Some of these things, incidentally, that we might see as negatives. They think, oh no, that's the church looking at me and, you know, looking down on me. But actually, these things should be actually seen as positives in the Christian life. After all, being part of a church where you're kept accountable and encouraged in your faith should be a good thing. But as we come to membership today, what I want to do is to look at it as a base at Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 through to 8. In the book of Romans, Paul has gone through what it means to be a Christian, that we all fall short of the glory of God, whether Jew or Gentile, and yet God has sent Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement to pay for our sins. And we take hold of that righteousness that Jesus bought for us by faith in him. Now, the end of Romans chapter 11 ends with a doxology, praise to the Lord, which signifies perhaps that what follows afterwards in Romans chapter 12 and beyond that is a different section to what's gone on before. And what I would want to suggest to you is that what we see in chapter 12 is very much an outworking of all that's happened in the previous 11 chapters in the book of Romans. And this is indicated by the word therefore at the beginning of this chapter. Because therefore signifies that something is changing. I.e., Paul is saying, you know, because of what Jesus has done for you, that he's explained in the previous 11 chapters, in view of God's mercy, this is what you are now to do, and this is what your life is to look like. And what Paul says is that Christians are to offer their bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, what does Paul mean by this? Well, of course, a sacrifice is usually something that is offered up unto death. But we are to be living sacrifices. You see, when you become a Christian, you're born again. And Paul speaks of how our old life, the sinful nature, has died with Christ, and we are made new. And because this is the case, everything that we are is the Lord's. He deserves our worship and our honour and our praise, and doubly so, because he is our Creator, and he's also our Redeemer. We're no longer to live for ourselves, but we are to live out our lives to the Lord and to his glory and honour and praise. We are changed by being in Christ. And that's what verse 2 leads into, that we as Christians are not the same as we were, that we're no longer to conform to the world, i.e. when we are a Christian, we are different from the world. We're completely changed from the world. We are marked out as different from the world. You see, we can't be a secret Christian. We can't be a private Christian. No one is going to know. And then verses 3 through to 8, Paul speaks about corporate living. You see, as Christians, we don't live in isolation, and we aren't to live for ourselves. We, of course, live in a very individualistic society in the West, don't we? We live in a society which, as L'Oreal says, teaches us, you're worth it. That's their slogan, isn't it? You're worth it. It's all about you. It's about your what you look like. We also are taught in our society these days that we need to have me time, whatever that means. I guess it means that, you know, time when you're yourself and you're wanting to do what you want to do. Now, I'm not against self-care, which of course is important. But being so individualistic can be selfish. And in the Christian life, we are to recognise that we are not to think too highly of ourselves. As Paul said in Romans chapter 3, where is boasting when you're a Christian? It's excluded because you did nothing for it. All you did was you believed and trusted in Jesus. God reached out to you in grace. Boasting's excluded. There is no place for it. Rather, we are to give ourselves over to God, to serve one another, and not just to serve ourselves. And Paul makes this clear, doesn't he, with his illustration of the body. The body has many members, many parts, and they don't, of course, all have the same function. And Paul uses this illustration in 1 Corinthians 12 as well, speaking about eyes and ears and hands all having different functions. And that, of course, is true, isn't it? Ever tried opening a jam jar with your ear? That's almost impossible, I think. Have you tried seeing with your fingers? You just can't do that because your eyes are the things that see. Your hands are what you open a jam jar with. You can't do it with an ear. You have many members of the body, and they all have different functions that they were designed for. And it's the same within the church family, isn't it? We're not clones of one another. We have different gifts and talents as Christians. And the key verse here is verse 5, which says, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. As Christians, we are all part of the body of Christ. We don't exist in isolation. We need one another. And not to think that you need other Christians is very selfish, really, when you think about it. Actually, not to engage with the body of Christ, but just living out your life for yourself, is actually denying yourself the blessing of being part of the wider body, part of the wider church. Not being part of the church is denying the wider church the gifts and the talents that you uniquely bring. You see, each member belongs to each other. And so together we belong to one another. We are bound together in Jesus. And if we don't engage with the rest of the body, then we're impoverished as the church. And so being a Christian is about first and foremost being committed to Christ, but it's also commitment to the body, commitment to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, your gift might not be leading, but it might be in encouraging. It might not be in serving, but it might be in teaching. You see, as you're listening to this today, you might think to yourself, you know, I don't have many gifts and talents. I don't have a lot to bring. But of course you do, because God created you. He created you as the person you are. And if you're not part of the church body, then the church is impoverished. We all have our part to play. Now let's bring this to how this applies in 2020 to the church in Scotland, the Church of Scotland, and why does membership matter, even in the church here in West Kilbride? But when you join as a member, you are professing faith. You are saying, this is what I believe, and this is what I am committed to. And there is, of course, a real place for public profession. Not just to be secret about your faith, but saying, this is who I am. This is what God has done in my life, and to testify to that. Now, when it comes to public profession and membership, this comes with responsibilities, but also with privileges. Responsibilities to live out your faith. Responsibilities to be part of the body of Christ. Responsibilities to use your gifts and your talents to God's glory. But it also comes with amazing privileges. Sometimes people think, you know, church membership is just about being tied down. It's about commitment. You know, it's not a great thing. It's an amazing privilege to be a member of the church. Let's never forget that. Because it's being part of the family of God. It's having accountability. It's being encouraged in your faith. You see, if I'm backslidden, I want someone to come to my door and say, look, why have you not been at church? Why have you not been at the prayer meeting? Where are you in your faith? Would you not like that as well? If you really understand what salvation is all about. And I remember a number of years ago in my home church that I was approached by someone in the church after a service. And they came up to me and said, I'm worried about you, James. I think you've been backsliding. And it made me laugh at the time, because the reason that I hadn't been at church was because I was studying in Aberdeen and my home church was in Glasgow. And so I'd been in another church, and so I hadn't been there for about 3 months when I was away studying. But actually, on reflection, all these years later, I'm really glad that someone noticed I wasn't there. I'm really glad that someone approached me and tried to say, look, I'm concerned about you. Do you not want that in the church family as well? Amazing privileges. Having accountability, being encouraged in your faith. Sometimes, you know, faith can be difficult. And yet you've got brothers and sisters in Christ who can share burdens with you, who can pray with you, who can help you live through the Christian life. It's seeing how the gifts in the body of Christ all work together for God's glory. That's a wonder of the church. We thought last week about how in the church sometimes it's not like-minded people who come together, but we're simply bound together in Christ. And it brings together people from all different backgrounds, all different situations. But when they come together, something amazing happens as all these gifts meld together into the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a member of the church and to be committed in that way. I haven't done many weddings this year due to COVID-19 restrictions and the pandemic. But most of the weddings I do these days, the couple are already living together. That's just modern life for you. But they still want to get married. Now the question is, why? And often when I meet with a couple, they'll say to me, we want to get married because of commitment, to really show that we truly love each other. We want to get married for security. You see, when you cohabit, I guess it's easier, though not easy, understand, to break things off, to go your separate ways. But marriage brings a level of commitment because promises were made. And there's something glorious, isn't there, in promises kept. That's why we celebrate silver weddings and golden weddings and ruby weddings and diamond weddings. There's something glorious in promises kept. What is a church member? Is someone committed to God, professing faith in Him, showing commitment to brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an amazing thing to be a member of the church, and we've only scratched the surface today. But there's also glory in a promise kept. In the same way as there's glory in a promise kept in a marriage. Is it not good to look back to that day when you professed faith in Jesus publicly? And you look back and you look at how you've grown in your faith. You look at the promise that has been kept, that you've tried to live out your life to God's glory and honour and praise with the Holy Spirit's help. We've only scratched the surface today of what it means to be a church member. I'm hoping that we're going to run an online Alpha course fairly soon, and then we'll have some membership classes springing from that. So if anything has struck you today and you would like to explore membership and be part of this wonderful body of Christ, then please give me a phone or send me an email. But as we think through all these things, and as we give thanks for God's word, let's just join together in prayer. Lord God, we are so grateful for the salvation that you have bought for us in the Lord Jesus. We are so grateful for all that Jesus has done, and dying on the cross in our place, paying for our sin, conquering death by rising to new life in which we share. Lord God, when we become a Christian, we recognize that we are born again, that our old life is gone and the new has come, and we are not our own, that we belong to you, and you deserve all our honor, all glory, all praise. Lord God, we want to live out our lives to you, to be living sacrifices for you. And we thank you, Lord God, that when we believe and trust in you, then we're not left as believers in isolation, but we have the wonder of the church, the body of Christ, members working together. Lord God, as we've thought about membership today, as we've thought about that commitment, that profession in you, we ask that you would help us to think through these things. And we would seek to be the people you've called us to be. People not just concerned about individual desires, but concerned about the wider body, looking to encourage and to teach and to use our gifts in the body of Christ. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for one another. We thank you for the church in West Kilbride and in other places. We thank you for the Church of Scotland. We thank you for the worldwide church of which we are a part. And we ask, Heavenly Father, for your blessing to rest upon us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, shall we join?